person is Kate Corsack. Yeah, I see. Okay.
Hi, Chris.
Hey, hello. What are we coaching on?
So I joined in January,
Awesome.
and I think I'm a big old failure because I weigh more now than I've ever gained in my life.
And that makes you a failure.
What's that?
That makes you a failure.
In my mind.
Is that helpful?
No.
Yeah. So quit thinking that. All right, now move along.
Okay. I'm finding myself eating more sweets than I've ever been eating.
Why do you think that is?
Well, I think what it is because, like many of us, I've been on diets my whole life, and the ones that, when I looked in the past, the ones that would work for me are restriction. And so,
That works is restriction. Every single diet, even include every diet. I'm going to get off on my restriction tangent real quick.
okay.
Every single diet that works has restriction in the action line. Just like in order for you to lose weight, you can't eat, you can't overeat. That's restriction. You can't just eat hamburgers and cheeseburgers every night and be like, I don't know why I'm not losing weight. I wrote cheeseburgers and chocolate on my 24-hour plan. Like that piece of paper is done. At some point, we have to restrict ourselves from shit that makes us break out in fat. We're allergic to some stuff. Like unlimited quantities of chocolate would be one. All right, go ahead.
Something in my mind, and this is where I get need the help. I feel like I'm defective. Like this plan has worked for other people and it's worked for you, but for some reason, I'm this uniquely defective person who it won't work for.
Okay, so tell me how many 24-hour plans you've done. Since January.
Since January, I've done, like out of a month, probably 20 per month.
Okay, so let's do the math.
Okay.
I'm going to see how defective you are.
Okay.
Right, so we have a calculator. January through June is what, 6 months?
Yes.
And let's just say there's 30 days. That's 1,800 opportunities to do a 24-hour plan.
Okay.
And then in 6 months, you did 20.
No, I've done 20 per month.
20 per month, all right. So that we would multiply what, 20 times six? I think
Yes.
that's supposed to be 180 plans, right? Yeah.
Right, 180.
180 plans. All right. You did 120. So 120 divided by 180. So 66% of the time, you've done plans. And you want weight loss. When you're just barely over half the time doing it, saying, all right, now I'm defective. Of those 20 that you did, how many of those did you eat on plan?
That's the problem. That's one of the problems.
Defective.
I'd say 30%.
Okay.
30%, I
I don't know
actually.
how to do that math, but I'm going to tell you right now, this has nothing to do with Lori being defective. You know what this has to do with? Lori needs to be doing 180 24-hour plans, figuring out when she's overeating what that's about so that she can reduce the number of overeats. Not Lori does 24-hour plans until she gets an ass full of herself and then decides not to. And then probably in those 10 days, are you face down or are you like doing really well? Those 10 days of no plans.
Face down. Not dumb. No, I'm not doing really well.
So that's not you being defective. You know what that is? You're not following the plan.
That's why I feel like I'm defective, because for some reason I can't.
What do you make it mean though when you're overeating?
Oh.
Besides, I'm a failure, which is the first word that came out of your mouth.
Right. That, but also when I'm overeating. And that's the other thing I had said was, I didn't say it to you, but I put in my email. I feel like I can't eat two to two. Like I'm going from a person who, without external restriction, I can't do it. And so then overnight, somehow, I'm supposed to just eat two to two and lose weight, but I can't do it.
Why is it overnight? Where did I say, here's your two to two lesson? Now, overnight, you're supposed to be doing it.
You didn't, but I did. Right. I'm wanting that relief. I'm wanting to see the scale move the other way, even one day.
Yeah, it will if you give yourself some time to let 2 to 2 work versus, oh my God, I'm defective, I'm a failure, this is supposed to work overnight, where are all my results?
But that's where I have the problem, and I can't do it. That's why I feel like a failure. Like
you're not feeling like a failure because you can't do it. You're feeling like a failure because you keep telling yourself you can't do it. Let me ask you this.
Okay.
Like, how old are you?
54.
If I told you that you, as of tomorrow, you have a cancer that's going to kill you in a year unless you lose 30 pounds, could you lose weight?
Yes.
Or would you be like, well, I guess I'm checking out.
I would hope I could.
No, I'm being serious. Okay. Are you married?
Yep.
If your husband's life was on a line, like within a year, if you didn't lose your weight, then God said, I'm going to take your husband away. That's how I roll now. I'm Old Testament. Would you lose weight to keep him? Or would you be like, well, fuck you, man. You're out. I got to keep eating chocolate.
I would like to say I would do it. And I would hope I would do it. But
let me ask
you. That's my fear.
Right. You are letting your current thoughts run you. I want you to be honest. If your husband's like, do you have children?
I
do.
Who do
you love the most in the world? You had to pick one kid. Who would it be?
Oh, I can't pick one.
Okay. So then all of them, who are they? Give me their names.
Garrett and Wesley.
Garrett and Wesley. Do they have kids?
Garrett has a baby girl. Emma.
Would you literally tell me, and I want you to be really honest with yourself. If their life was on the line between you losing weight or they die.
I'm going to lose the weight.
Exactly. And you know the only thing that changes?
What?
You think you can do it at that point. But you keep selling yourself on the idea you can't do this. And when you sell yourself on the idea you can't do this, guess what you do? You're like, well, that 2 to 2 thing, I don't know, I'm kind of defective. Like, I don't know about that. I did it for like a day, or I do it for 20 days and I kind of do it and stuff. That's not really doing it. Mm-hmm. You're going to need to overcome feeling bad about yourself to lose weight. You're not going to need to overcome being hungry. You're not going to need to overcome writing down your plan. You're going to need to overcome not liking yourself in the moment and thinking it's not going to work and doing it anyway. That is the only way you're going to lose weight. Because I guarantee you, if I put a gun to Garrett's head and said you had to lose weight, you wouldn't like yourself and you'd lose weight. You doubt yourself up, like, I really hope I can do this. Oh my God, I forgot his life's on the line. I'm going to do this. You'd have every same fear and doubt, but you would deprioritize them to do what you said you would do. The only problem right now is you're waiting for your own mortality motivation or something drastic to happen to make you step up and say, like, you know what? There's going to be moments where I'm not going to like myself. That's not a good enough excuse to quit anymore.
That's true.
We only ever quit for one reason.
What's that?
We decide that we want relief from our own thinking. I'm going to tell you, every single person that leaves this tribe, every single person that quits on their 2 to 2, every single person that quits on the 24-hour plan does it because they have a thought about what this means about themselves as a person. It's never, you started off with the King Ding Dong. I am a failure. You truly believe you're a failure. You're going to need to lose weight believing you're a failure until you prove yourself wrong.
Okay, that's good.
So let me ask you this. Like, this week, or let's say that to the end of the month, you are going to practice 2 to 2, which is very different than it coming overnight. I love the way you said it. I was like, what? Did I put that in the video? I need to reshoot that.
But don't put me in charge of your video.
This is what I want you to switch your thought from. Rather than, I can't do 2 to 2. Just because you haven't done it yet doesn't mean you can't, which is a big difference. It means I haven't learned it yet.
Okay.
I haven't done it long enough. Most of the people that have lost, I don't know, a good 50 pounds with me still struggle with their 2 to 2. Oh. The reason why they lose so much weight is because they keep paying attention to it. And they get better and better at finding it. And sometimes they don't do it. And sometimes they do. But they start collecting more days that they're doing it than they're not doing it. Everybody that loses 50 pounds, they will tell you. Like, the majority of them actually do all the 24-hour plans. They may miss one or two here and there, but they do them. But there's a good percentage of them that aren't followed. But rather than quitting on the 24-hour plan simply because they didn't follow it and they don't like their self-judgment about it, they get back on the horse the next day, they make another one, and they ask themselves, what was going on? Is there something I need to be doing different? You're making the four basics a problem with Lori.
Yes.
There's something wrong with me, rather than Lori has process problems. Lori has not practiced 2 to 2 long enough to really understand the 2 to 2. So it's like, all right, if it's a process problem for me, this week what I'm going to do is I'm going to pick one or the other. Am I starting with the negative or am I going with the positive? But one of them, this week, that's all I'm focusing on. I'm going to nail one side of it. Doesn't mean you'll do it perfectly from here on out, but by the end of 7 days of really paying attention, like, which one would you pick? Would you rather wait until you're hungry to eat, or would you rather stop when you're satisfied?
Probably stop when I'm satisfied.
Okay. So, like, imagine if you had spent since January to now just being crazy obsessed with stopping when you're satisfied, no matter what you had chose to eat. Do you think you might have lost weight?
Oh, yeah. I would have lost weight.
With one
probably
all the basics, and they all have all kinds of little variations you could pick. But the only people that do that are the people who don't think they're a failure. The people who do that think, I'm going to fix this. I'm going to figure it out. I'm not going to sit and self-deprecate and self-loathe anymore about this. That's such a waste of my time. I'm done living my life like an asshole to myself.
So the other thing that I keep thinking is, because like in the past, if I did Weight Watchers, let's say, I didn't ever lose a lot of weight on Weight Watchers. I only have lost weight when I've been on a restrictive, as in what I can eat type of plan.
Okay.
And so that's the other thing that's coming into play is, how can I possibly lose weight if I just come back? I won't lose it. I have to be restrictive. I have to not have anything. I have to do all these things.
But you assume you know that's true.
Correct. I do. That's what I assume.
Yeah. What if your assumption is completely wrong and you just keep wasting time playing with your assumptions rather than like just doing something to see if this works? I mean, I just like a shortcut. I don't know about you, but I like to like do things the fastest way possible. And the fastest way for you to lose weight is to quit diddling in assumption land and thinking about it. And wondering about it and feeling terrible about it and being like, oh, what if I just do this and quit pretending like there's some other answer? I don't really know. I've never done it this way. And also, you could quit telling yourself the lie. The only way I've ever lost weight is through restriction. Not really, or you wouldn't be here now.
And I wouldn't be fatter than I've ever been. So that didn't work so well, did it?
That restriction stuff kind of bit you straight in the ass. And yet you keep telling yourself it's the only way to go.
That's very funny. And very true. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it works real well, doesn't it? That's why I'm sitting here saying, oh, yeah, I'm fatter than ever.
I love it when we argue for something we believe is true that sucks. It's like, no, I'm just telling you. And it's like, okay, let's not even believe that anymore. Here's what I would love for you to do. I would love for you to make yourself a really realistic 24-hour plan through the end of the month, okay, and agree that you will not give up on yourself.
I can do that.
And here's how you don't give up yourself. The second you doubt, I'm going to tell you, you're going to feel like, I don't know if you feel amazing, but you're at least going to feel like some clarity came over you from this call. Mm-hmm. And you're going to get off and you're going to go straight back to your old thinking.
You're right. That's probably true.
Oh, it is true. All of us. Kat's going to get off here and all of the crap's going to come up. Everybody that's on this call, everything's going to come back. The reason why is because your brain's already conditioned to think that way. Like, I give enlightenment and a new perspective. It's up to you guys to go act in a different way now.
That's the problem I'm having.
Yeah. Well, now you just get to go act in the new way and you get to bring all your shitty thoughts along with it, knowing they're not true now. The only difference is that you have to decide that is the stuff I've been thinking. I'm not going to argue for my truth anymore and stall my results. I am done with that part of it. Now what I'm going to do is I'm going to create a really realistic plan. If I want fucking chocolate, it better be on the damn plan. Otherwise, I'm not eating it. And I'm not going to buy into the idea that I need to do restriction in order to lose weight, because that's more likely to push me into breaking plans. And the surefire way to not lose weight is to eat against myself, to eat behind my own back and to go face down in chocolate because I think I'm a failure. That's a recipe for disaster. I'm not cooking that cake anymore.
You must be following me. You know what I'm doing.
You're like so many of us. I had the same recipe for disaster for years. That's why I know. So I just want you to like make the realistic plan and just be like, all right, I'm going to want chocolate tomorrow. There's some chocolate on the plan. And I'm going to pay really close attention this month to the plus two side. I'll eat the plan plus two. It is so much better than what you're doing now, which is the only thing that's happening is you're proving to yourself that you're a half-asser.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Because the more you half-ass it, the more you just create the habit of half-assing. And then you get frustrated because you want the full ass.
That's true. Yep. Maybe I should just come be your roommate for like 2 months.
Everybody thinks that would be pleasant. It would not.
Right. That would not be pleasant.
Not pleasant. It would be way boring too, because all we do is we sit in this little office and all day long. We get hungry. Like, I'm starving right now. But I want you to like cut yourself some slack.
Okay.
Go back through the no BS, please.
I am doing that.
Good. And I really want you to pay attention to module 4, the thought download stuff. I want you to get smarter at noticing when you're telling yourself some real bullshit.
So if I do this plan that's realistic and I do it and it includes chocolate, and let's just say I do that and I don't lose weight, then how do I ever get losing weight?
Eventually what happens is that when you get to where you're planning it, so right now when you eat chocolate, are you like in the moment going, you know, you're never going to lose weight doing this. I don't think this matches up with your plan. Is any of that happening, or is it just like, fuck it. Like, I've done screwed up like 20 of them. I might as well just eat. And then 10 days later you wake up going, oh shit, I should do these plans again.
Probably more the first than the last. So.
Okay. So give me an example of when you're eating chocolate, what happens? Like the moment before
I eat the chocolate.
Yeah, tell me about an overeat. What happens?
All right. Overeats are always triggered for me, not by being hungry. They are triggered by stress.
Okay.
So I'm stressed out. I've been dealing with a client. I've been doing something. I come home because I'm a lawyer, and so all day long. Then usually it'd be when I come home and I'm tapped out and there's chocolate, and I want this relief in my head. Oh, I'm going to have some chocolate. I'll just have a piece.
Okay.
And sometimes I'll think, oh, Lori, that wasn't on your plan. Or sometimes it will have been written on my plan.
All right, so the days you don't have it on your plan, though, is what I'm interested in.
Okay, days I don't have it on my plan, then I just think, okay, I'm just going to eat this anyway. I don't care. I'll eat it. And tomorrow I'll have that plan. I'll put it on my plan tomorrow.
Okay, so you're not doing what I said. You're totally like just like not doing what I said. Okay. So here's the realistic plan.
Okay.
How much chocolate do you eat?
It would be like a half of a candy bar, let's say.
That's the only thing going on in your whole diet life in the last six months, a half a candy bar every now and then.
Oh, God, no. No.
So give me something that's like super like, Corinne, this shit has to stop.
All right. Peanut butter.
Okay.
Come in, get a scoop of peanut butter. Get another scoop of peanut butter. Get another scoop of peanut butter. It could be that I'll have 12 tablespoons of peanut butter in a day.
Okay.
That's probably more of the realistic. Sometimes then I'll add the chocolate with the peanut butter.
Okay.
But it's usually peanut butter.
Okay. So here's your plan. You need to write down peanut butter, 12 tablespoons every day.
Okay.
And it
Okay.
Right. But you're doing like this. I love it when people do this. Like now your realistic plan is 12 tablespoons of peanut butter. It's like, that's the problem. This is not you when you come home. Stressful day. Peanut butter. That's not you. This is you like, fuck this. Wait, this has been, I'm going to start this shit tomorrow. Like, I'm going to eat this mess. That's the difference. The realistic plan makes you like breathe in and think you're drowning. Because you're going to go in and you're going to be like, whoa, 12 tablespoons. So fucking shit right there. We better get to eating. And you're going to do it. And the whole time you're eating it, when it's on the plan, your brain freaks out. Because when you're eating on the plan, you're using your conscious brain.
Okay,
the conscious brain, guess what lives there?
In the conscious brain, what lives there? Judgment. Mm-hmm.
No, that's your unconscious brain.
Okay.
So you're choosing, you're like, no, it's judgment. I'm choosing all the judgment. No, here's where your conscious brain has. It stores your goals, your dreams, and your desires. The only way for dreams, goals, and desires to ever be achieved is the use of the conscious brain. The unconscious brain does not do that. It keeps you breathing. It does judgment to keep you out of trouble. It's like, oh my God, you've been using your conscious brain all day, lawyer. Like, you're tapped. We should just sit back and eat peanut butter. Mm. Then judgment comes in afterward, and then you've got like, what has happened? See, I didn't think your judgment was coming in the beginning. You told your story. You told on yourself. You thought it was coming in first. No. It only comes in judgment, like, and it's not even judgment. It's questioning. It's like your brain makes a connection between, I want to be the person who loses weight. I'm face down in peanut butter. I think there's cognitive dissonance. Something's going wrong here. That's the reasoning brain. And it says, girl, you're never going to lose weight doing this. What are you doing? Uh-huh. That happens because you told me the only time that happens is when you actually have it. It's on your plan. What are you doing? That's what we want. I would rather you overeat and it be on a plan so that you have a moment of sanity where your goals are like, what are you doing? We have goals. What you're trading in to say, like, I'm not going to make a plan so that I can face down in peanut butter and judge myself. Mm-hmm. My goals never even got a say in it. I'm just cutting their ass out. Why bother?
Yes, that's what's happening.
I promise you, like, the first time those 12 tablespoons are on the plan with a half a candy bar as the vessel to get into your mouth,
yes,
you're like, get out the peanut butter and you get out the thing because, like, oh, Lord, it's the plan. First couple of bites are fun, and then all of a sudden it's like, really? Is this what we're going to be doing? Like, then your goals start coming into mind. You may not feel amazing, but I don't want you to feel amazing. I want you to feel sober. I don't want you to feel good and happy and all this other stuff. I want you to be like aware, sober, a little disappointed that you think peanut butter fixes a hard day. And then I want you to get to the point where it's like, That is some, what the real bullshit is that I keep throwing away the 24-hour plan rather than throwing away the peanut butter. The one thing that can solve my dreams and my problems, I decide to set it aside and I just keep the jar and the candy bar spoon. And that will be the change.
When you said the sober, I have a friend who's dealing with alcohol, and I thought, I'm doing the same thing, except it's not alcohol.
Yeah.
It's peanut butter. It's chocolate. It's the combo.
You're like drunk on love with that peanut butter. But that's how that realistic plan really works. That's why, like, for the short term, you are trading in weight loss for getting really aware of what the real problem in your life is. You're trading in like this fake story that you have that I can't lose weight, I'm defective, I'm all these things. It's like, no, you're not like doing what you know you can do. And part of you getting to that point is understanding the behaviors you have in a very realistic way. Eating the peanut butter will not feel relieving anymore. Right now, the way you're doing it, does provide relief until it stops. Mm-hmm. And then you have your shame that you have to deal with.
Yep.
What I am doing is like, I want you to have the peanut butter on your plan and it doesn't provide relief anymore. It kicks up judgment and it kicks up the resistance in your body. Like, this goes against everything I know I really want for myself. Like, maybe I should start dealing with having a bad day with like, my brain. I mean, you're a damn lawyer. You got a good brain.
I got a good brain.
We know we can use it for this.
I have a very
logical. The best. Y'all are good arguers. We just need you to argue for yourself now.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, I could argue for someone else. And I could rationalize and reason. Just, yeah.
Yeah. And now I need you to rationalize and reason for your goals and not rationalize and reason for your weaknesses. Okay.
Yep.
You can do this, and we won't even have to kill Garrett.
Yeah, we don't want to kill Garrett.
That next time you see him, he's like, "Baby, saved your life."
He'd be like, "Mom,
I need to come at you."
Yeah, he'd say, "What goofy program are you on now?"
Or they put a target over your children's heads.
Now when I see him, I'm going to think that.
Oh. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you for a good call and being so honest.
Thank you very much. I was so thrilled to get to be able to do this. I made my day. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
That was a good call. God.